Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble. We're live here on a Thursday, November 6th, 2025. Taking phone calls and messages. Phones are still down, unfortunately, here on Montana Talks, but you can call in and talk to the producer and get your message to me, and we'll read it and respond or send a message on the Montana Talks app, 406-294-0970. Yellowstone County Republicans last night had a meeting to submit three names to the Yellowstone County commissioners for the replacement of Representative Bill Mercer, who is now on the federal bench. They had another meeting after that as well. I had to leave just because I had been basically working straight for 12, 13, 14 hours at the time, and it was just ready to fall asleep and had to get out of there. So I believe Jennifer Owen spoke last night. I don't know if anybody was there and heard her speak, or if she's listening now, could happily call and send a message or anything like that to get something out to us. But that race, this Billings mayor race, continues to be extremely, extremely tight. I was looking at some stories just this morning here from the mainstream media talking about kind of where that race is at. And what you've got is a margin, this is according to Q2, a margin in this Billings mayor race of 185 votes with almost 700 provisional votes to be counted this coming Monday. Ballots were from voters who initially forgot to write their birth year on the envelope but went to the elections office to fix the error. So, you know, the Democrat, a.k.a. leftist liberal candidate Nelson, endorsed by the Billings Chamber of Commerce, of course, is maintaining a lead against the conservative Jennifer Owen, but it's too close to call. What this says is Nelson leading by 185 votes, 678 provisional ballots still to count. Most of these ballots are voters who forgot to write their birth year on the outside of the envelope. By the way, shout out to Secretary of State Christy Jacobson. Her office was correct that, you know, all of the media freak out over these rejected ballots and then wrongfully comparing them to previous elections, rejected ballot numbers after the cure period or this provisional ballot period. It was totally, you know, the media was trying to paint this as, you know, basically, oh, you're disenfranchising voters. That's what they always say. Anytime you want to have a law in place that even requires just bare minimum effort on the part of the voter, whether it's to register to vote, whether it's to show an ID, whether it's to write your birth year on your ballot, like all of these things, they literally will compare that to poll taxes, requirements to own land to vote. I mean, really, really crazy things. And then they'll make these ridiculous arguments that it's racist, you know, to require voter ID, things like that. But the Secretary of State's office was correct that we should have waited until after this period to figure out the rejection rates, because the rejection rates have come way, way down. And so what you have now is you just had an election here that was more secure, than previous elections, and you didn't have higher rejection rates.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun developing today, an isolated shower chance lingers in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, highs from the lower 50s in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Now with partly cloudy skies for tonight. Temperatures head back down into the mid-30s. And then on Friday, we'll see considerable cloudiness and some scattered shower chances moving in with highs from the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A Wednesday hearing of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee focused on the transition of our troops from military to civilian life. Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran saying,
each veteran is a significant asset for our country.
Approximately 200,000 veterans leave the service every year, and the discussion centered on the best way to blend government and private programs to make the beginning of the next portion of their lives easier. Former Army Lieutenant Colonel Jason Galluy testified that
the sooner a veteran can rediscover their purpose, their connections, and their contributions, the more likely they and their family will thrive.
Mike Hutchings, the CEO of a veterans nonprofit, added this.
When we invest in their successful transition, we strengthen our workforce, we strengthen our neighborhoods, and we strengthen our nation.
Witnesses also testified that vets and families who transition successfully will encourage others to serve. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on the show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Thanksgiving.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you are a journeyman plumber, and you would love to work for a great outfit in the Billings, Red Lodge, Bridger, Columbus area, get a hold of High Caliber Plumbing. Great team. Ron Gunn is the owner of High Caliber Plumbing. It's a veteran-owned, family-owned business. Both of his sons work for the company as plumbers as well. His wife, Kim, manages things. Great place to live, great place to work, working with some of the best people right here in God's country of Montana, highcaliberplumbing.com. And, hey, if you're not a journeyman plumber, and if you don't even want to mess with that stuff, and you'd rather just call the experts, if you got some, whether it's emergency plumbing needs or whether you've got a construction site and you need some new construction plumbing done, or hey, maybe you're somebody who's heard me talk about these Rinnai tankless water heaters where you never run out of hot water in the mornings. They specialize in, they're certified by Rinnai to install the tankless water heaters. So check them out, highcaliberplumbing.com, highcaliberplumbing.com.
All right, David Noble back talking on. I'm live on the air. I'm talking. Can you hear me in there? Oh, I can't hear myself a little bit. It sounded like the board wasn't on. Oh, hey, by the way, before we get too much further into this, and we've got a bunch of guests coming up here on the show, I wanted to say happy birthday to Candace. Candace out there, not sure if she's listening, but did want to say happy birthday. I was starting to talk a little bit about last night, the Republicans here in Yellowstone County put forth three names. I didn't even mention them. One of them is Stacy Zinn. Listeners on this show very much know Stacy Zinn. She was one of the top three here last night, along with Rhonda Knutson and then Jenna McKinney. And so those are the three names that are going to the Yellowstone County Commissioners to basically let the county commissioners pick one of those three to replace Representative Bill Mercer in the state house here in Montana. So that was good. That was good news. We also saw, you know, what's really bothersome sort of about what happened with these elections yesterday. And I saw the mainstream media here in Yellowstone County acting as if the Democrats won. Really, really weird stuff. So for example, Q2 says Republican-backed candidates struggle in Billings municipal races. So they've got, and I just found that very bizarre, because it's like as soon as the election's over, all of a sudden these city council races are completely basically partisan races. You know, why is Q2 running stories about Republican-backed candidates struggling in Billings municipal races when they're nonpartisan races? So they get these Democrats like Mike Nelson to win these races on a nonpartisan basis. And then from there, then as soon as the election's over, now all of a sudden it's the Republican-backed candidates lose. You know what this reminded me of too? Is something that Jake Eaton said yesterday on this show that I can't stop thinking about. And like I said, Jake Eaton is one of those guys who 20 years ago, he told me that the reason he's not a Republican because he 100% agrees with Republicans, et cetera, et cetera. No, he's a Republican because he wants to have an influence for the better on the party and the country. And that's just really stuck with me. And I bring up Rand Paul and Ron Paul as sort of these, you know, libertarians that are working within the Republican Party to move the party further in a libertarian direction. And that's fantastic. Obviously, much better than what you see a lot of these Montana libertarians do, playing these spoiler roles. But Jake Eaton said something else yesterday that this is going to stick with me. And I think it should stick with everybody. And when I asked him, what do you think the solution is to the property tax problem in Montana? And his answer was to make it so that these elections are not only on the exact same date as the regular elections, but that they're partisan races as well. Okay, that is, and you sort of, you sit back, wait, what's that got to do with property? Well, what it's got to do with property taxes is that the school board races and the city council races, those are the seats that are deciding your property taxes in large part, because your property taxes are decided by local spending, whether it's at the school level or the city and county level. And so you say, okay, well, how does changing all of this change around? Well, the fact remains is that you've got the Democrats and literal Democrat socialists in places like Missoula, and we've had one here in Billings as well. And of course, the media reporting this morning about all these socialists that won all across the country. But when you have them winning nonpartisan races, it's outlandish. It's absurd. And whether it's school board or city council, these are bodies that are making taxing and spending decisions. And there's nothing more political or partisan than taxing and spending. That's the main role of legislatures. I mean, yeah, they make laws, they repeal laws, et cetera, et cetera. But one of their main things they do is choose how to tax and spend our money. And when you've got these school board elections being done in May, nobody's paying attention to politics in May. You got city council elections being done in an off year, 2025, an odd year. I mean, you look around at the national election results, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. The reason that these Democrats can do so well, well, number one, they're all in blue states. And Jake Eaton actually put out a fantastic tweet yesterday, too. Jake Eaton quote tweeted our friend Elizabeth Warren in the U.S. Senate, said, "I do enjoy the left's overreaction to Dem wins in blue states." And not just blue states, Jake, deep, deep blue states. This would be like ours crowing about off-year wins in Idaho and Wyoming. And then I look at Politico Playbook this morning, and they are crowing. They're acting like this is the end-all be-all. It's ridiculous. More right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. You hear a lot of lawmakers bragging about introducing legislation, but George Washington University political science professor Casey Burgett notes that introducing a bill really isn't much of an achievement in Congress. Burgett points to an example on March 29, 2023, when Republican Arizona Representative Andy Biggs introduced 521 separate bills in just a matter of moments. Many of them took aim at repealing the bipartisan infrastructure law. But in short, as Burgett notes, introducing a bill doesn't mean much. It simply means that a legislator was attempting to legislate. Then they can say that during an interview that they introduced a bill. Even if it never gets a hearing, a markup in committee comes to the floor, is debated, let alone passed or signed into law. Lawmakers introduce bills so they can say to their constituents that they're trying to do something about subject X, even if something is never done about subject X. Lawmakers introduce thousands of bills during each two-year Congress, and only a few dozen ever make it to the president's desk and are signed into law. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Mike. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz.
Well, the opportunity to pass mandatory country of origin labeling is at an all-time high, especially on the heels of President Trump's decision to import beef from Argentina to drive U.S. beef prices lower. Wyoming Representative Harriet Hageman says if it's American beef, it should say so. And that's why she's reintroduced the Country of Origin Labeling Enforcement Act in the U.S. House.
What I'm looking at with mandatory country of origin labeling is really, again, what we're talking about, transparency. The consumer then knows where their meat comes from. It's also truth in labeling. It's also truth in labeling. We have the right to say our beef comes from America if it comes from America. If it doesn't, they shouldn't be able to say that.
National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue agrees. In fact, last week, he told me at the Montana Farmers Union's annual convention that frustration is brewing in farm country over the inability of Congress to pass common sense legislation like mandatory country of origin labeling.
Russell, I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit tired of trying to find the silver lining and all the kind of decisions that our lawmakers are making who are supposed to be our leaders. But with that, I do think, number one, that there's a greater awareness of what's happening in cattle country, for example, and how small decisions and small efforts can make a massive change out there. There have been big losses just in a short amount of time here. Look ahead, I think that there are more people, because of this opportunity, who understand that we don't have country of origin labeling and how it could be useful. And so I do think that we're at least a little bit more hopeful that we're going to continue to get support built.
Now, to a lot of folks out here in rural America, mandatory country of origin labeling just makes a lot of sense. Dollars and cents. Stay with us for more Ag News right after this. It's a bread, cow, and heifer special this Monday, November 10th at Torrington Livestock, Torrington, Wyoming. Highlights include the Fancy Auctioner Roth Cattle Company bred heifers, 195-head AI to calve February 8th, and 75 bull bred heifers calving February 10th through the 28th. Other top consigners include 7X Cattle, Ben and Haley Nolan, the Springfield Ranch, along with Cody and Pam Grisman. For complete listings, visit torringtonlivestock.com. And remember, you can always view and bid online via Cattle USA.
November 13th at 1 p.m. Central Time, Hoffman Ranch will be selling 150 bulls, including 100 Angus and 50 Hereford. These bulls are made specifically for this sale and have not been picked over. They have a 3-year foot guarantee and an unconditional first breeding season guarantee. At the conclusion of their bull sale, they'll be selling 250 bred black baldy females. Please call or text Jason at 530-604-5096. Visit HoffmanRanch.com or find the Hoffman Ranch Facebook page. They're located 5 miles north of Bedford.
Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, along with the Public Lands Council, have announced their support for President Trump's nomination of former New Mexico Congressman Steve Pierce to serve as director of the Bureau of Land Management. NCBA Executive Director of Natural Resources and PLC Executive Director Caitlin Glover says that having represented New Mexico in Congress and the State House for decades, former Representative Steve Pierce understands the important role that public lands play across the West. NCBA and PLC say that Pierce's experience makes him thoroughly qualified to lead the BLM and tackle the important issues that federal lands ranchers are facing across the West. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David Noble here live. We've actually got a candidate, Brad Molnar, or at PSC. Are you going to put the mic on? Should be over there. Actually, you know what? It's not plugged in. We're going to have to get the producer in here. I don't know if the producer can quick run in here. It doesn't look like the mic's plugged in. Anyway, I did, before we get to Brad Molnar, because we were talking to PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar yesterday about some things going on at the PSC and kind of ran out of time. Wanted to give him a chance to come back on. And again, I extend an invite out to any other PSC commissioner, any other PSC candidate that wants to be on the show, feel free to. But yesterday, CB in Belgrade wrote us saying, this was actually last night around 5:01. He said, hello, This is Coulter with Two Kings Snow Removal and Outlaw Brewing in Bozeman. We are buying beers for all veterans and active members on the 11th at Outlaw Brewing. If you could mention this one on your radio show, we would appreciate it. Thanks. Well, there you go. Coulter with Two Kings Snow Removal and Outlaw Brewing. Free beers for veterans on the 11th at Outlaw Brewing in Bozeman. Mentioned it on the radio show. Consider it done. So thank you for that. All right. PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar, thanks for being here again.
Yeah, you bet. My pleasure to wake up at dark 4:30 a.m. and wander on in here with my own coffee.
Yeah, well, early, you know, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
74 years ago, that was true.
You don't believe it anymore or what?
Huh? What?
So, hey, you were there at the meeting last night with the, with the Yellowstone County GOP. I was just kind of, you know, mentioned the name, the three names that got put through, I guess. What was your take on how last night went?
I wasn't there for the meeting. I was there to meet a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in years. And I wandered in, and I listened, and I wandered out, and I listened. And I would say the person that was running the best and the most race there was Daniel Zolnikoff's little son up and down the aisles.
Oh, you love to see that. I absolutely love to see that.
Oh, yeah. I've nicknamed his son Bao Bao, which is Chinese for baby. And he's getting bigger and bigger. So it's a pleasure to see him every now and again.
Yeah. So I guess kind of, do you know where we left off yesterday? Do you have more to say on that?
Well, I did very quickly. And I guess I have about half an hour. So maybe we can spend, 5-10 minutes on the persecution of Brad Molnar. But I also have a very big issue that I'm working on that I'm having zero traction with the press. I have given a couple of talks, the Pachyderm Club in Great Falls, for example, and I start and they're like, you know, milling about and talking, and then they're absolutely riveted. And the question at the end is always, why don't we know about this stuff? Well, because it's supposedly down in the weeds. And
we have a terrible media.
Well, it's going to affect Eastern Montana heavily. And when you ask Great Falls Tribune to get the word out and you can't even get a response to your email, that's no media. It's not terrible, it's no media.
Well, this is a fantastic little preview here. I guess we've got the 6:30 news break here, and then more with PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar right after this. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flynn on Montana Talks, 406-294-0970. If you want to get a question to Commissioner Molnar, so tell us, what is this big issue that you're talking about that when you talk about it gets everybody excited and questioning, why aren't we hearing about this?
It's actually a continuation of a really, really big one that the Montana Public Service Commission, Tony O'Donnell, and David Sanders, who was on yesterday, actually united 27 states, went to FERC and fought it and won. Well, it's resurfaced, and that was called Rule 1920. Without Tony O'Donnell being at one meeting to find out about it, we wouldn't have known, because the Montana Public Service Commission has devolved since I was there and left at the end of 2012. We no longer train our commissioners and our staff in regional and national issues. So regional and national issues are kicking our butt, and you don't even know about it, and it's appearing on your electricity bill. In this case, and I'm the only, there's five commissioners, and therefore five states, that are working on this. In opposition, we are willing to go to the Supreme Court. It's called MISO MVP Tranche 2.1. I'm the 2.1 guy. And what that says is, the way it's working out, and it's a $23 billion question. There's a tranche one, and I'm trying to figure out how much of that is going to hit MDU electricity customers. Because I'm me, I have to dig down and find it, and I can do it because I'm on the OMS board, Organization of MISO States. And this is a MISO question. So what they're doing is in the...
You've got me a little bit lost. What is MISO? Okay. What is MISO?
Okay, MISO is the Mid-Continent Independent Systems Operators. So in about 15 states and portions of some of those states, like Montana is just MDU. So we're a MISO state, but only in that footprint. So it's the owners and the transmission. It's the transmission owners and the generation owners. They're supposed to get together to make sure that transmission and generation doesn't have to be added to if they can simply work together to route things around. Should be very, very efficient. Turns out to be one of the most expensive ways of doing business because they soon act only to their financial interest of their shareholders, which is what they're legally responsible to do. So OMS, Organization of MISO States, which I'm a board member of, each state gets one commissioner, and we act as a public service commission with oversight on them. While they have a $400 million budget, we have a $1.5 million budget. So most states have their own, if you're like me and you're an OMS member and voter, you have your own attorney on a federal level energy issues, and your own economist on the same, and your own secretary, because this is a full-time job. I had none of those. I used to back in 2012, but we've devolved. So my job now, I hear some music coming. Should I take a quick stutter?
We've got 10 seconds here. This is interesting. Appreciate it. If you guys want to get a message in or phone call, talk to the producer. He'll get it to me, 406-294-0970 more with PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar right after this.
Montana Heart of a Meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Mientras más escuches a tus hijos, más atención te prestarán. Por eso le preguntamos a varios niños lo que desean que sus padres escuchen.
Para mí, amor no es dándome regalos o comprando casas. No, amor para mí es abrazos, hablando conmigo.
Escucharlos es amarlos. Encuentra maneras de apoyar emocionalmente a tus hijos en escuchandosentimientos.org. Visita escuchandosentimientos.org, traído a ti por Ad Council y Pivotal.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a message here from the great Elena in Phillipsburg. She says, for Brad, HDR is getting involved in water and utilities. Does Brad know if the company is affiliated with data centers?
I do not. I've looked into a lot of data centers. I cannot find their funding source. I don't know if it's foreign. I don't know if it's Chinese, Japanese, or something out of Star Wars. So who is associated where, who owns what shares, who gets a vote on almost all of them, and I'm probably the most knowledgeable in the commission. I've been studying it longer than anybody. I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, you just spent the last 5 minutes during the break kind of finishing what you were saying on the air, so can you just repeat everything you just said to me?
So I'm the OMS guy, Organization of MISO States. So I am acting as a public service commissioner over the other 15 states and the generators and transmission owners there. What they are trying to do, which Tony O'Donnell and David Sanders defeated 2 years ago at the federal level, is they want to build out. Right now what I'm involved in is $23 billion. So $400 million of that will appear on the electricity bills of MDU electricity customers in eastern Montana. It's just an add-on to their transmission charges that MDU would pass on.
And would that be only the electricity, not the natural gas from MDU?
Okay. No, this is strictly electricity. So what they're doing is, so you have a wind farm in, say, Iowa. They want to sell to Green Bay, Wisconsin. They want to build a transmission line from Iowa to them, serving the customers in, say, Waukegan, and the wind farm doesn't pay for it, and the people in Waukegan just pay a small fraction of it, but everybody in the top tier, so that's Montana to Michigan, of the MISO states, will pay for it. So $400 million of that goes onto the rates of MDU customers, who they don't get a windmill. They don't get a transmission line. They don't even get an extension cord. They are told that you're getting cleaner air to breathe because the windmills are cleaner than building a gas plant or a coal plant or something to serve these people. Well, I pointed out in one of my briefs that the wind blows from west to east. So the cleaner air should actually be paid for by the people in Chicago, because we're not getting that. All we're getting is a $400 million hit. So what they're trying to do is say that this transmission line serves a social purpose, and therefore you should pay for it. Well, who is it serving? I didn't know this until the last flurry of briefs, and I'm getting briefs all the time on this stuff. But the proponents of it say it's good for economic development because we're going to serve the data centers. And data centers want renewable energy. So when we build out the renewable energy to serve the data centers, the economic development is worth it. And I'm like, yeah, but that's in Waukegan. That's not in Glendive. We shouldn't pay for that. And is it really economic development? I don't care. It's yours, not ours. So my fight is to maintain what the Energy Act of 1984 says. Supreme Court has ruled on twice. In 1920, which we won, says the cost causer is the cost payer. You may not shift. And they're saying, well, but our MISO members, these following states, have renewable energy mandates. And we have to serve that. And I'm like, no, you don't. They can serve that because it's their legislature. Our legislature said no. So I can't put it on our bills because we can't put environmental externalities on a bill. And so here it comes automatically in a transmission charge. Well, how do I separate that out? Well, I sit down for hours, and I started yesterday when I had guys in MISO. Exactly, what's your trail here? You know, who's paying for what? They've already done a $10 billion okay on tranche 1.0. How much of that has been built and therefore billed into the Montana system? How much? And seeing so, we got nothing. And if you didn't do a postage stamp, everybody pays. How much of it is winding up in Montana? Because you're outside your own rules. So this is wildly important. Everybody like me, which is to say a commissioner, most of them are the president, which, you know, I was for 9 months, God bless me, has their own economic advisor for OMS, their own federal level, FERC level attorney working with them, because you do this all day, every day. There's nothing else to do. You don't get into garbage cases. And they have their own secretary. I don't have a secretary. Our new chief legal, I gave him the briefs. I said, what do you think? He said, this stuff's really complex. And I don't have an economic advisor. Our economic advisors are really great. Almost all of them have master's degrees. They are weeks behind in their work. They don't need a new one. So it's me. You know, however, all the others have these things. So it's their resources that we're living on here.
So when you say that this $400 million being put onto the ratepayers of the MDU electricity customers, is that something that the PSC is going to need to approve or disapprove? Or how does that work?
The fight on that, and I just alerted the other members as to what's going on, is MDU has a rate case. So I have to figure out how much of that is already in the rate case. And all it would be is 1.0, which I wasn't there for. If nothing is coming in, that's fine. If on the next rate case, you have the $400 million because the build-out has happened on 2.1, I have to say, you can't charge them that. It's an environmental externality. Assuming our laws are still the same and held kids and all of that hasn't overturned it. Because they're saying the exact same thing as what the Supreme Court said. They may overturn our authority to pull that out. If that happens, we're dead in the water. So right now, I am saying I will check this out. I may need some help. Nobody said go ahead and get it. Not being president anymore, I can't just assign somebody to help me with it. So if it is in there and I say you can't do it and the PSC says you can't do it, MDU will say it's a takings. We have to do it. We're a member. It's in there. You can't tell us to pay it, because it's benefiting the people of Montana according to MISO rules. It would probably go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know what? When I give these little speeches to Pachyderm clubs and whatever, it starts off, they don't know. When it ends up, they always say, why haven't we heard of this? And I said, I've invited the Great Falls Tribune to interview me. I invited them to this. And they're not here. it's not a matter of poor journalism. It's a matter of no journalism.
Well, and it makes sense perfectly why they wouldn't want to cover it, because what it exposes is the fact that the reason a lot of our electricity rates are rising is because of these neighboring states and their renewable energy mandates and things like that. And it just, I mean, that was a big, one of the big problems with Colstrip was Oregon and Washington and their rules. It just, and I am so happy to hear that the Montana legislature has never put in one of these absurd mandates for windmills and solar panels. And let's be real, like when we say renewable energy, we're talking about windmills and solar panels. They're not using other renewable energies. This is windmills and solar panels.
And renewable, my butt, okay? They're intermittent. When the wind don't blow and the sun don't shine, you need something to fire up to make up the difference. It's intermittent. We are saying if it doesn't work when we need it, that's fine. That's not okay to say. Okay, in MISO right now, I've gotten 3 warnings, because I'm the OMS guy, from MISO that because the estimates and future forecast of solar and wind are not proving out. If you are repairing your fossil fuel plant, stop it. Put it back together. If you're repairing transmission lines to one of those plants, stop it. Put them back up, because we need the electricity. Well, who pays for stopping it, putting it back up, tearing it back down? I'm going to find out how much of that is winding up on MDU customers' bills. And I will stand there and reject it. Everything like this so far in the last 4 months, which is when the persecution started, I have lost. 3-2. They're going with the utility. Don't make them pay. Well, I got news for you.
And who's the commissioner that's been voting with you?
Randy Pinocchi.
Okay.
So, matter of fact, on the Jill Kringstad, who's a commissioner out of North Dakota, who's spearheading what we call the concerned commissioners, were the ones trying to stop it, the 5 commissions, came online during our public comment a couple weeks ago and explained to our commissioners what I've been trying to tell them. It's $100 billion. It's $400 million to you almost immediately. You know, thank you for your support and giving Molnar the support he needs. Well, support Molnar needs is a no-dos, because I'm working extra 30 hours a week on this. Okay, so at the end, she said, are there any questions? There weren't any. There was no questions. So I said, Jill, you guys have said that you or the chairman of your commission will come to Montana and work with us to understand it and try to get some support, some legal time, a couple hours a week, something. And she said, yeah, that still stands. So I sent an email. I said, she wants to have a meeting. Are you guys willing to let me schedule this? 4 commissioners, calling me, said, let's do the meeting. Commissioner Bukacek said, it is suboptimal use of my time. I'm working on one of my videos. I will not attend.
More with Brad Molnar right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you want to know what the outlier in Virginia was, that the outlier was when Glenn Youngkin actually won 4 years ago by 2 points, but it was almost a perfect political storm with the perfect candidate. He is a great, great campaigner and a great candidate, but he doesn't have coattails in a state like Virginia, or Commonwealth of Virginia, which, Northern Virginia is solidly dark, dark blue because all the bureaucrats in D.C. have moved there. So there was no surprises last night. The only thing that was a surprise was that, polls showed that, things might be tighter than they would be in New Jersey. And I had hoped.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
We are seeing something really disturbing. Anti-Semitism on the rise. College campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world, around the world. Sadly, right here in America, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel. Israelis murdered on October 7th, murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please donate generously, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or ifcj.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun developing today, an isolated shower chance lingers in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, highs from the lower 50s in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Now with partly cloudy skies for tonight. Temperatures head back down into the mid-30s. And then on Friday, we'll see considerable cloudiness and some scattered shower chances moving in with highs from the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisisretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water. Then stir it with a shovel.
Wow. You sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, folks, we got a packed schedule here. So we got Tim and Billings joining us in studio here at the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to have Samuel Pascal Redfern joining us during the 7 o'clock hour. We've also got Holly from Montana State joining us. During the 8 o'clock, we're going to have the Attorney General. But we got this last segment with PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar. So I know you had a couple other things you wanted to get out there to the listeners, and this is our last segment. So
yeah,
take
you
it away.
First of all, I'd like to correct something you said is that we've never had a renewable energy mandate. It's expired. It was passed back when I was a freshman commissioner back in 05 session. By then president of the Montana Senate, John Tester, required 15% renewable.
Goodness that expired.
Yeah, well, it expired because we crossed the 15% limit. So who needs it? So we took it out, and it was in court all the time. They just kept trying to expand it to philosophy, you know, based on philosophy and not based on the wording of the law. Matter of fact, while that was being debated on the House floor, I'm out in the ante room, and they sent pages out to me. I'd send stuff in. And I sent in a question to be asked by one of my friendlies. When the wind is blowing and we don't need the electricity, what happens to electricity? And nobody on the floor knew. And the answer from the Democrats was, who cares? Nobody. We don't have to know that. Well, actually, you do. Somebody has to handle it, and I guess that's me, and now I'm in because you guys passed it. So anyway, what I just discussed is the real stuff of a real, highly functioning commission, protecting the people of Montana at the federal level, the regional level, and the state level. We regulate monopoly utilities. We are not supposed to be regulating each other. And what's happening to me? Quick, what am I charged with? What am I accused of?
I don't know, to be honest.
That's right. Nobody does. You know why? There's nothing there. Okay? I Okay, they said that I'm that the reason the governor should suspend me is not because of what I'm doing as a commissioner, but because I'm interfering with the investigation. The investigation of what? You don't know. Okay? I'm not sure. So they're saying that I'm interfering by holding a press conference and saying my due process rights are being taken away during the interview part of this. That doesn't stop anybody anywhere from doing anything. That my attorney sent 4 emails to their attorney and has held them up by 2 weeks. Their attorney is not part of the investigation team. It didn't take her 2 weeks to answer emails. We did not ask her to write the history of British common law in the United States between 1770 and 1776. They were emails. Perfectly legitimate questions on process going forward. Okay. I am accused of nothing. I have no evidence against me, and they've made no claims. I said during this question of do we call back the letter to the governor, because it was significantly flawed. And I said, if you have any, you've been doing this for 4 months, if you have found one fact that you can put out there of something I've done, put it on the PSC website, and I'll answer it. And they said no, and it's never happened. So this affects every election coming up. Can you overturn an election based on an HR question that's supposed to be internal? This is huge. And the press doesn't cover it as huge. They cover it as they're squabbling. I said I will go down fighting for the due process rights of everybody in the commission, everybody that comes before the commission. I'm not going to just give up. And people say, why don't you just give up? Because it has to do with due process. And if I give up, there isn't a single employee there that will have due process. The current commissioners won't have it, and the next commissioner won't have it. And then who the hell is going to run for a job in which one person, Jennifer Fielder, can say, you're going to do as I say, or I'm going to have the governor take you out? Who would do that? I didn't know it. I wouldn't do it twice.
Hey, before we let you go, I was real interested in what you were talking about with the MISO and the OMS and sort of these regional requirements and the $400 million. Where can people go to find out more about that?
You can Google it, and you're going to find out nothing. You can call me. I'll tell you. If your eyes glaze over, it's not my fault. Hey, you asked.
Okay, so reach out directly to PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar. Brad, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet, you buddy. Thank you.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.